This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. The truth is not out there. It's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
And we are back with Robert Kiviat, talking about this new era of UFO disclosure. But is it really a new era, or is it more of the old, manipulation? That's what it sounds like. And I mentioned before the break, Robert, the conflicting messages coming out of Hollywood, which seems to always have us kind of off balance and not really sure what we're supposed to take away in terms of the message. What ETs are all about. I mentioned Steven Spielberg, and we have sort of the benevolent portrayal of aliens in ET, and then we have War of the Worlds and so forth. This constant, steady stream of dissonance, really. That surely is part of the game plan.
I was very impressed when you brought that up before the break, that Steven Spielberg apparently changed his tone about aliens and extraterrestrial beings. You know, 1 minute Close Encounters of the Third Kind and E.T. Present a very, very benevolent, you know, view, and then all of a sudden, years later, in the remake of Wells' War of the Worlds, you have a very, very macabre, almost horrific look at what alien contact may be, or they lead to. So you have to wonder, you know, and years ago I heard a story about that, which I don't know if it's true or not, but I figured that for our purposes tonight, why not throw it in, since you were so sort of pressing it to bring it up. Apparently I heard the story that Spielberg, years later, was at an event, and he was approached by an operative of some kind and gave him some video or film or photographic evidence that when he went home to look at it, it freaked him out so much that he decided to drop UFO and alien-related dissemination, if you will. Now, look, I don't know if that's true, but I do know the person who told me that was of the highest level of the television industry, so I can't believe he would be making that story up. He wrote it directly to Stephen. So, in other words, Stephen had been shown, you know, physical or photographic evidence that made him believe that he should put a wrap on that. So, as far as I'm concerned, what I have found out, and hopefully tonight before we end tonight, your listeners will understand what it's like to be embedded and to try to figure out this thing and put your family up against it, so to speak, to figure out what's true about UFOs. You know, I've done many, many other type of stories on television. Many things I'm proud of, mysterious of every kind, or mysteries of every kind. But when it comes to UFOs, we're talking about what could be the most important story ever told in our, you know, in our history, present history, whether or not we'll be visited by beings from another planet or another space and time, if you will. And if our government is trying to manipulate that, then we need to be very vigilant and figure out what the hell is going on. So, unfortunately, to take on that kind of mission, if you will, you have to go up against it, so to speak. You go against networks, entertainment conglomerates, which do not really feel truth matters very much. And if truth matters, and people really want to get to the bottom of this, then they can help me. And I have a GoFundMe site right now going because I am trying to develop a campaign that will be supportive of my legal case we filed in California here, which is to bring the CIA scientists affiliated with Flintridge, Ron Pandolfi, and also a guy named Dan Marriott I mentioned earlier. This is the former congressman of Utah. Why did they want to control my time, my energy, my efforts for a year? Who are they working for? What are their agendas, if you will? And we're going to get to the bottom of a lot of things here, I think, Richard. We're going to find out that just because we're looking for payment of my contract, that is a vehicle by which to get into this entire issue about, or the opportunity, I should say, to get into the entire obfuscation of government manipulation of people involved in UFO research and even producers doing TV shows like mine, and of course figure out what's going on with the Kidney Stars Academy, which appears to be either a government-related psyop of some kind, or they really have some agenda to manipulate people to believe that we're being threatened by unknown vehicles that appear to look like Tic Tacs, long, 25-foot-wide craft of some kind that are coming in the hundreds over two nuclear aircraft carrier groups during exercises separated by, you know, a decade or more in the two events, and we can talk about it tonight. By the way, the New York Times completely blew that story about whether or not, you know, there was just a Nimitz case in 2004 and whether or not we had another case in 2015. And that's another story completely, Richard, about why our media completely cannot cover UFOs properly. They don't have the acumen, they don't have the care, they don't even have the interest possibly to some level. But that's another thing completely. So anyway, we're going to get to the bottom of a lot of things in this court case, which people should be aware of. We have a GoFundMe site, and go to your website, Richard, which, by the way, you articulated my situation very well, the way it's written there. And then click on the little menu in there and go to my site and help me, because I'm trying to take on, I think, something that any good journalist worth his salt would take on if he was being kind of screwed by these people directly, but also with the chance to really get into it once and for all. And I think anybody who cares about UFO truth, if you could help me out a little bit, that'd be great. But that's my little plug.
Well, but as you say, it's not about what do they owe? You were left holding the bag for what? About, was it $300,000 worth of your time and effort?
They owe me what would have been what I would have made in my own industry that I make usually. So I mean, you're talking about $250,000 roughly in salary and back pay, and they could have paid me off very easily if they were smart about this. But unfortunately, what they want to do now is have me drag me far into a courtroom in California, which in California, that we find out, is a very, very protective state for the employee. And since I had been, I filled out a very, very serious employment contract and signed that, which is what our operating contract is to me, this is a very, very important thing for them to settle. Or if not settled, it's going to deal with many more $100,000 in penalties and whatnot for employment law, which is really fascinating because if a guy from the CIA was involved, he should have known this. If a former congressman was involved, he should have known this. So it just looks to me like I said, a flytrap where people were kind of slammed together, and now the fallout is occurring. But the good news is, if you care about the truth about UFOs, we're going to get into many areas in this lawsuit that almost no other plaintiff, if you will, has or person ever suing has ever been able to sort of achieve. It's very unique.
We'll open up the phone lines in the second hour. We're approaching the top of the hour. Robert Kvyat stays with us for the full 2 hours. We'll take questions and comments for Robert, and you can respond to what you're hearing. It doesn't seem, as you say, very, very smart on their part to open themselves up for a lawsuit and to have this explained. I mean, if, you know, this company was backed by the CIA, you would think they would have pretty deep pockets, you know, to write you a check and to pay you would have seemed obviously like the smart thing to do. Anyway, we'll pick this up on the other side. We'll take questions and comments. 416-360-0740 in the Greater Toronto Area, 416-360-0740, and toll free from just about anywhere, 1-866-740-4740.
Live from Toronto, Canada, Earth, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett on Zoomer Radio.
Long-haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed rec room with the hi-fi, the shag carpeting, and the electric fireplace. Your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. And a big howdy to each and every one of you listening in on our flagship station, 740 kilohertz on the amplitude modulation band, 96.7 on the frequency modulation band, Zoomer Radio here in Toronto. Hi, Ed, all of those listening in on one of our affiliate stations across North America, from Kodiak, Alaska to Lubbock, Texas. Hey to those of you watching this radio transmission on YouTube. And yes, we are streaming tonight. The YouTube channel is Strange Planet. Hit that red sub button if you would. And of course, hello to the faithful assembled in the live stream chat. However and wherever you're listening and watching, I bid thee the warmest of welcomes, and I thank you for your fine company. A veteran Fox Network UFO investigative TV producer, Robert C. Kiviat, stays with us this hour to talk about the rival factions within the U.S. Defense Department and U.S. intelligence agencies that are, he says, battling each other for dominance in explaining to the public what UFOs represent. Are they harbingers of doom, the apocalypse, or heaven on earth, perhaps something in between? Before we get back to my conversation with Robert, it's time to announce this month's winner of Strange Planet merchandise. Anthony Ward of Henderson, Nevada. Your name has been drawn from the list of our Patreon supporters, and you have won a volume one of my Strange Planet radio feature on CD. Volume one of my collection of my Strange Planet radio feature. Congrats, Anthony. We'll get that out in the mail to you first thing Monday. Now, if you want to be eligible for monthly draws for Strange Planet merch, or to be eligible for the exclusive monthly live online chats or monthly live online hangouts on air, go to patreon.com/strangeplanet and consider becoming a donor or an official sponsor, supporter. Patreon.com/strangeplanet. Robert Kiviat, best known for helping the Fox Network establish its alternative TV department with highly rated primetime documentary specials such as Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction, UFOs, The Best Evidence Ever Caught on Tape, 1 and 2, Miracles and Visions, Fact or Fiction, Prophecies of the Millennium, World's Greatest Hoaxes, Secrets Finally Revealed, and Ghosts Caught on Tape, Fact or Fiction. And Robert, before the break, we were kicking around a number of topics, and it all sort of focuses on the manipulation. And I was trying to understand the CIA on the one hand, or the intelligence agencies, as best you can figure out, what is their narrative? What are they trying to push? That ETs are hostile? Or that they are benevolent? What are they pushing?
I hate to be so simple about it, but why don't we try to paint it in a very kind of simpleton way, and then we can kind of, you know, branch out from there. Let's just put it this way. There appears to be enough evidentiary correlating kind of things we could point to that seem to show that the Defense Intelligence Agency, the people more involved in military, not intelligence, but military, DOD, Department of Defense, they seem to be swayed by, to some degree, maybe even slightly, but to some degree, by some of the activities that they claim were happening at Skinwalker Ranch over the last 20 years or so. And these events seem to correlate or conflate in some way to UFOs being some kind of either demonic or some kind of interdimensional type of phenomena, not coming from another planet, not coming from any kind of like threat from, let's say, another planetary system, but may even be more along the lines of spiritual, like we would think of as demonic or angelic or that type of thing, and not at all, metallic craft of some kind. And that seems to be coming from several different either psyops or things that we can kind of, break them down to simply tonight, but we can call for the moment psyops that were allegedly created by the government, studies that were done that indicated possibly we're dealing with some other kind of phenomena not coming from another planet. And then we have, apparently, on the intelligence side, CIA, not defense intelligence. And it gets complicated. I'm sure I may have to break this down, but defense intelligence is not necessarily central intelligence. There are different branches of a similar type of intelligence community where they appear to be being led by this gentleman named Ron Pandolfi, who is the guy that was behind the company I worked for. And they appear to be trying to say that UFOs are some kind of interdimensional of entities coming in from portals, some other kind of like, you know, we'll call it, let's say, wormholes coming in from different places and are sort of activating in certain parts of our on certain parts of our planet right now. And so that's like a different dilemma. Like, wait a minute, now we have that version of things. Now, whatever these Tic Tac craft that the New York Times wrote about and what they're referring to, which, by the way, just so we understand each other tonight, Richard, there appear to be two different events the New York Times are covering, but very badly. One was a 2004 event where many of these 25-foot-wide, 50-foot-long Tic Tac-shaped craft, like a candy, hundreds of them came down from outer space, hovered by this nuclear aircraft ground group around the Nimitz craft, you know, Nimitz group in 2004. But then, apparently, in 2015, these two other videos that were released to the Stars Academy are from another event separated many, many years, 2015. We're talking now about how many years, over a decade, on the east coast of the United States by Florida. So there's another event. So imagine we have two major events in the last, you know, few years, called over a decade, on both coasts of the United States, involving our nuclear aircraft, you know, nuclear groups, really, protecting our world in every way, and they were inundated by these craft. All right, so that seems to be the truth that they're leaking out. Then we have this DIA version that these are evil, maybe who knows what, and then the other side of it is from the CIA, oh, maybe there's some sort of portal dimensional beings coming in. And what's fascinating is the guy at the CIA I'm telling you about, he has said things that make it personal to some degree, that his wife may have some knowledge of what these portals are about. So when you start going in your personal agenda, then I think you have a very unique situation. So we can talk more about that if you want, but it's very fascinating.
Yes, I mean, so the CIA, the gentleman that was backing the company that you worked for, you're saying he had a personal agenda. What sort of comments was he making along that line?
This is a very fact-based scenario, I'm about to tell you. In 2017, sometime around the middle of the year, a gentleman named Grant Cameron, who's a well-known UFO researcher.
I know him well.
You know him well. And Canadian, by the way, a very, very top guy. And he was lecturing that Ron Pandolfi, same gentleman we're talking about for the CIA, was now getting behind Joe Furmish and some sort of technology he's doing, which obviously is what I got involved later in. And then, of course, something amazing, that Ron Pandolfi's wife may very well be some kind of being from another dimension. Now, look, that's what was being presented to some degree, by Ron and the people around him. Whether or not that's true or not, one can make a prima facie case that that was indeed the story that was being promulgated to the public. Now, why he would allow that story to get out there and not, you know, curtail that and call that complete rubbish, one has to wonder. So when I finally started to get into a discussion with him through emails over the last, you know, call it last few months, at one point, he did not deny it as being true, and then later on seemed to muddle that in a typical, you know, CIA manner. One minute you say something's true, and the next minute you say, it's not. So that cancels it out. Good luck. But the story that we're hearing is that Ron's wife may very well be a very connected, interdimensional kind of being in our world. I don't know if that's true, that he's helped, you know, put out to the public.
Well, when you go to, you know, these conferences, and you'll be appearing at UFO MegaCon, March 24th to the 30th down in Laughlin, Nevada. I mean, I don't know about this particular conference, but if you go to enough conferences, you're going to hear people. They'll get up on stage. They'll make similar claims. I mean, we're really in. It's all pretty much speculation at this point. I mean, are you any closer to knowing what you believe is the truth, or are you becoming increasingly frustrated, as I am, at the lack of actual data, and just the claims seem to be getting more and more and more outlandish? Time travelers exactly. who lived on Mars
right
and so
are.
Forth.
I'm right where you are completely. In fact, I plan to go back to more conventional journalism in the very near future. In fact, I'm in negotiations now to move that direction. And I think I could do a lot more work and service in the journalist community covering things that are coverable. I think this entire UFO area, as fascinating as it may be, Richard, is not coverable. We have too many operating forces trying to obfuscate, confuse, muddle the entire story. This tic-tac UFO event that we were just describing before is a great example of how, you know, you could have completely an amazing event or two, and the way the government allows it to be covered. I'm not saying they're doing the covering, but there appears to be some level of governmental manipulation that will allow things to be released so badly without any kind of provenance you can really point to. These UFO videos that were released to the Citizens Academy are completely unverifiable where the provenance came from. Department of Defense will not say they came from them. So where did they come from? God knows. But I think we're getting to the bottom of one thing at least. This is the good news. As I go back to conventional journalism and really read this subject matter, by the way, for, I have to say it, cable television and a few, we'll call them, entertainment-driven outlets have really muddled the UFO field to the point now where I think no one could believe any of it being really valuable in historical senses in any way. So, but as I kind of move on to more conventional work, and by the way, I want to leave people with a thought tonight, that as I hopefully take some calls tonight, I'm looking for people to help me in my pursuit of getting truth for my lawsuit. Anybody that can go to my GoFundMe thing by clicking on my name on your website, I would appreciate, Richard. I mean, I'm fighting a very, very difficult battle. My children have been affected. I've been affected. These people are trying to really ruin what could be an amazing development in our world, which is the visitation of beings from God knows where. But what they're doing is they're trying to make it a much more of a political thing. So I kind of decided to become a little more political myself, and I'm looking at all kinds of different ways that I might be able to get out there about this subject matter. And if you could help me, guys, I'd appreciate it. Go to that site. But I want people to know that this is a quote now from Assange, Julian Assange from WikiLeaks, which I don't know if you like him or not, and I'm not going to get into what the good things about WikiLeaks are or not tonight, unless you want to. But bottom line, you said something recently, that 30% of the American population seems to be interested in UFOs. Why wouldn't that become more of a political platform for any candidate? And I thought about it for many years. I got into it. I may actually start to run, not on the UFO ticket, but not being embarrassed that we need to get to the bottom of what's going on with this thing. So that's my bottom line tonight, guys, in general. So much to that.
So, again, if people go to my website, go to strangeplanet.ca, and then the conspiracy show down that tab at the bottom. And under tonight's show, you'll see Robert's name, Robert Kiviat. Just click on that. That takes you to his GoFundMe site. So what's going to happen if this case goes forward? I don't know how that works in a civil trial. You subpoena? Would you be able to subpoena these various members of the CIA?
We plan to, well, not only that, Ron Pandolfi will be served probably, if not today, to Sunday, tomorrow morning or Tuesday. did he serve a typical, you know, Dan Marriott, former congressman of Utah, who wanted to apparently control anti-gravity development for the Utah area in some way. God knows why. And maybe that's true. God knows why. Could be asked some other time. And then maybe the bottom line is, you know, they will be brought into court, not only them. The people that were behind the machine before, Joe's machine was being developed in 2009 and 2010. You had General Leslie Clark, former NATO, top NATO general. You had the present owner of Skinwalker Ranch, who bought the ranch from Bigelow 2 years ago. He's Joe's former partner on the device. He will surely be brought into the courtroom to explain his background, why he's involved, and all of that. So I think that what really comes right down to it, we're trying to get into this sort of nexus that seems to tie it into the $22 million, which, by the way, is not a lot of money, but, in military or DOD or whatever parlance you want to say with government. But the fact that, you know, Richard, you have the $22 million money earmarked to Bigelow from, you know, his very, very friendly politician named Harry Reid, one has to wonder how constituent gets $22 million and no one else can really does bid on it. Apparently, others could bid on that $22 million they tipped out or was funded from. But all I can say right now is it doesn't smell right. I mean, there are a couple of journalists right now that have contacted me, one's covering my story pretty much. You know, it doesn't smell right. It does not smell right. And something is just wrong with this whole, the way the government seems to, you know, dole out their UFO-related things to one guy named Bigelow. How'd that happen over the last, you know, 15 years? Why is Bigelow the guy? Once you go do a little research and find out about Bob Bigelow, beyond the fact he's interested in UFOs in space, I think you'll find out there's a very, very interesting background with him. And I think this will be one of those great cases, you know, Richard, where we'll be like bringing people into the courtroom that maybe have just a small part of the story, but it will get into bigger parts as we get into it. So it's going to be very interesting.
Is it possible, though, Robert, you might be opening yourself up to some litigation here just based on what you're saying about some of these other people?
I don't think so, because in the course of our facts and everything we've seen, I think any journalist out there with their soul, like I said, would say that we're just following the facts. We're not going to make any claim that's not backed by some, you know, fact. So, I mean, when I say to you that the connection between Joe Firmage, the company that I work for, the people behind Civic Affairs Academy, and Skinwalker Ranch, these are easy diagrams to just lay out. Simple as put, you can see the people involved. The question about whether or not it's a coincidence or not would be left to the average person. But why I bring this up is it's an interesting mix of people, and all we're really trying to do is really figure out why am I working for free for a year while other people out there are basically trying to manipulate the public to believe certain things about UFOs. And I think what happened was they just didn't realize that you can't get away with that kind of fly trap forever. You can't just manipulate people and think, oh, they're just going to go up in their way and take their lumps. Well, unfortunately, I'm not taking my lumps. I take this story and everything I work on here very seriously, and I hope the people that are interested in this story and subject matter do as well and will help me out and understand that I was sucked into something, but by having to fight back, I'm able to get into a lot of the truth, and that's something that I think is a unique kind of position to be in. So, hopefully, that's some help. I know.
You're going to, no doubt, at some point, run into some of these people at this conference or that conference. I don't know if Tom DeLong is, present at any of these conferences, but maybe at some point you might run into a Luis Elizondo. How I'm wondering that conversation might go.
Oh, I would say to Lou, or to Tom, and I indicated in my email to Tom a few months ago, we had a little reaction. They're just getting sort of caught in something they're not quite clear about. And maybe the union may very well, on the other hand, be very knowledgeable on the development. But the point is to be honest with people and don't make it's the first rodeo. This is not the first time, not the first rodeo, as you say, you know, that you see people trying to manipulate some of the story. The story seems to be fascinating. At least the one the New York Times covered, that there were two events, although the New York Times did not know it, one in 2004, one in 2015, separated by both, you know, the entire coast, you know, one's the East Coast and West Coast, or West Coast and East Coast, and basically a fascinating event occurred. We want to get to the bottom of it. We want to figure out what's going on. Why do we have to have a complete mystery about so many things if we are involved with the way the information doesn't even know the facts? Why are we going to take 3 years to find out the facts about certain things? It makes no sense.
We're heading into a break here shortly. When we come back, I want to talk about to what extent, I don't want names for obvious reasons, but to what extent, you know, this whole sort of UFO conference industry, if I can use that term, is populated, do you think, by disinfo agents? We'll do that when we come back. Robert Kiviat, my guest, right here on The Conspiracy Show. Don't go away.
Exploring theories, uncovering facts, and offering a different view of the universe. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett on Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard live, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Welcome back. Robert Kiviat stays with us, veteran Fox Network UFO investigative TV producer. And we will also take questions and comments this hour for Robert. I asked you before the break, this whole industry, really, that has evolved around the UFO ET disclosure movement. To what extent, and again, I don't want either of us to get into any legal problems here, but when you go to these conferences and you're rubbing shoulders with these speakers, I mean, how many of them do you suspect are disinfo agents?
Oh, first of all, let's not, get too concerned, if we can, which is being media people, about offending anyone, whether it be companies or producers I take all the hits I've taken for doing shows like Alien Autopsy on Fox, one of the biggest specials ever on television in America. You know, was it a real alien or not? You know, the point is it could have been. It still might well be the representative of a real alien autopsy. And therefore, I'm not going to be, you know, anyway embarrassed to say, hey, I put one of the biggest shows ever on TV. And let's be clear also, all my other shows are trying to get to the truth of UFOs and other mysteries, just like other networks should be, like A&E, like History, like the producers that make these programs. So just because Tom DeLonge or somebody else comes along and wants to be an entertainment company, well, I've been doing this for 20-something years. The point is, are we trying to get to the bottom of it? Or are we wasting our time creating this entertainment wasting our time, basically, when it comes to UFOs? If we are really being visited by other beings, and that's being hidden from us by the governments of the world, then that's one of the biggest problems you could imagine. And we need to figure out how to get that resolved one way or another. You know, either we're living in a fantasy that we're all alone and there's no one here, or there's other beings here. And so the bottom line is we should be getting to the bottom of that. So if anybody wants to really truly get to the bottom of that, they should try to get behind what I'm about, which is I put my journalistic integrity on the line. I put my abilities on the line to get to the bottom of this stuff. Because lo and behold, we see this ridiculous direction now, where we're seeing ancient aliens. Ancient aliens? Are we kidding? I mean, is that going to move the UFO subject up in any way, shape, and form to truth? We're talking about a book years ago called Chariots of the Gods by Eric Bogdanikin. There probably isn't that much more material in the truth of ancient aliens of any kind, in any way, shape, and form, than was in the original book back in, you know, the 70s. But no, they're going to find ways to create what appears to be BS about these subjects, And so that's what our entertainment industry has become. We, if we can sell it, you know, we can make it happen. Well, you know what? I'm so sorry. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things about proof. Maybe we've been visited years ago, 1,000 years ago, but it would fill one book, not 8 seasons on Ancient Aliens, okay? And so the reality is we become a culture that where Ancient Aliens becomes the show of record for our UFO belief or subject matter or investigation, which is a fact. That is now the number one show for anyone that's interested in this stuff. And it gets, you know, a rating that you would say, yeah, it's okay, you know, a couple million people. But not to the level that we would get you to go on Fox. Cable TV has become a very different kind of platform. So bottom line, if you want to see real investigations of this type of thing, good luck finding it. And that's really what I'm about. So if I don't get those type of shows given to me by the networks to create and, you know, negotiate those deals, then therefore I don't see anyone else coming up with any type of show like that. I'm not quite sure why that is. There's a lot of investigation to be done in this area. But now we have Lou Elizondo. He's got his own show now coming up on History Channel. Oh, that's very, very unbiased, right? The same people coming out with the information, they're going to make the show. That's very, very unbiased. So I guess we're looking at a very strange world of living.
Well, I mean, the ancient alien theory has become akin to a religion, and you can get yourself taken off a lot of Christmas card lists if you dare to challenge that orthodoxy. It's become the new orthodoxy.
There's so little evidence, and people should know this, I'm sorry to burst the bubble of the ancient alien world, so little evidence to support the idea that there are rock carvings showing of any kind, these type of things. But when you look at it in a very kind of interesting, you know, kind of like subjective way, yeah, you can have a lot of fun with stuff. But what we're talking about here is getting to the bottom of what might be one of the biggest mysteries of the last, you know, century or more, and the question really, or a millennium, you know. And so what kind of journalism is being done with that? Not much at all. And so what I decided to do is kind of like wait for the right opportunity to go back to more conventional news gathering, if you will. That really, what we need right now in our culture is really good vetting of truth. What's true? What's not true? And I think my shows have been sort of like, you know, pigeonholed a little bit to be about the paranormal, but they always were fact or fiction. Is it true? You know, that's the idea, you know? And we're dealing with truth. Is it truth being real? So the issue is, you know, take the step I'm taking, and hopefully some people will join me in mentioning that I don't need to know. So that's where that GoFundMe thing comes in, and hopefully we'll be able to get a campaign going to get truth, which I think is about time.
A lot of people believe, especially since that December 2017 New York Times piece, that we are on the cusp. We are on the very cusp of disclosure. They're going to be very, very, very disappointed, don't you think?
They know. Almost every person I've spoken to in the UFO community recognizes the limited hangout that we're living in right now. In fact, there are very, very major YouTube, young YouTube guys. In fact, the one guy, I can tell you specifically, is really on top of this. He used the term limited hangout almost like, you know, almost like by name. And it is the term that I think you should be hearing more and more about, Richard, which is a combined, a little bit of truth with a lot of BS. And the ultra-limited hangout seems to be when the BIA and the CIA are coming from diametrically opposed positions and confusing everybody. There you go.
So where do we go from here then? I mean, obviously, you know, you want to make programs, you want to do proper investigations, you want to apply journalistic standards to approaching this topic. But it sounds like, as you say, you're about ready to throw in the towel and go back to doing, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better term, regular sort of workaday type stories.
Well, yeah, let me make sure I clarify that, which I love your interview today, because it really you get right to the point, which I really appreciate that. I did say I'm going to go back to more conventional news. My thinking is, by being in a conventional news environment, I'll be able to bring some of the sensibility of this kind of like investigatory zeal, if you will, to this area that we're talking about. And even Bob Bigelow was on 60 Minutes just a couple of years or two ago, really giving a spiel about what he was saying, as opposed to really getting into it. So I think if there's a little bit more journalistic awareness of the story that people are doing in the conventional news business, they could do a very deeper story, if you will, just as an example, both maybe the remote viewing stories that were done recently on one network, and also the idea of what Bob Bigelow may represent in another story. So my thinking is I can bring something to the table that will be a lot more inception, you know, how should I put it, a little more insightful, a little more knowledgeable for a position of knowing the beat, if you will, but then also being a position to regular conventional stories as well. But by no means am I giving in the towel. I think what's happened here, it's become very clear that the regular media has very little interest in getting to the truth of this. So I have to become a member of the regular media so that I can bring some of the sensibility in. And I think I've seen enough, and this is the good news, I've seen enough receptivity of some kind at some pretty high levels in the new business, if you will, that this is not far afield from what they would cover. But when you talk about that you're covering UFOs and mysteries of the unknown for the entertainment divisions of our country and our television landscape, yes, I pass. I don't recognize that as being a very good place to put my skill set. But having said that, there is one channel, or there should be, I think, there's one broadcast network and one cable channel that is still interested in talking, and we'll see. We never know. We may see something happen with me. But I'm not about to start pounding my pavement anymore. I think it's time for getting my lawsuit resolved and bring these people in. So please, if you can help me out with my GoFundMe thing, I would appreciate it very much.
All right, Robert, hang in there. We'll reconnoiter on the other side and continue to delve into this remarkable, remarkable arena. Back with more on The Conspiracy Show. Stay with us.
The world is being pulled over your eyes. This is The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To reach Richard, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
And we are back with UFO, or with Robert Kvyat, and he will be a feature speaker at UFO MegaCon happening March 24th to the 30th in Laughlin, Nevada, at the Aquarius Hotel. And again, you can go to UFOMegacon.com to register and get more information. Impressive lineup of speakers, to be sure. I want to go back to your court case for a minute, Robert. So for those joining us a little late, explain who you have in your sight in terms of this court case. Who are you going after again?
It's very simple. Back in the late 2017, when Tom DeLonge and Sunshine Academy was coming out with their amazing academy, I had joined a company called InterNASA. That's the International Academy of Science and Arts, as opposed to the Sunshine Academy, as you get the academy word. And it appeared that that company was very similar in many ways to what they were doing. But 10 years earlier, the company that I joined was really in motion 10 years earlier in different incarnations. And I became a competing kind of academy against the Sunshine Academy, and was treated with the job, the contract, the employment contract, to bring that company up to speed and basically beat to the Sunshine Academy to the punch and try to make TV shows about what they were doing, which in our case, in my company that I was dealing with the CIA scientist that we talked about earlier, the CIA scientist in Gandolfi was backing a company that made an anti-gravity device of some kind. And that was the company that I was trying to more or less bring attention to, and that was what my contract was for. So for a year I worked with this company, and they did not pay me. And by not paying me, I issued a lawsuit to basically get my salary arrears paid. But my lawyer was very smart about this. He said, you know what? We'll also pursue the truth about what we know about UFOs at the same time, because we'll be able to do discovery. We'll be able to do all the things that the court system allows for. and bring people in. And just as one example, summing it up for everybody, the guy that's behind Two Stars Academy, the scientist working with Tom DeLonge, is a guy named Hal Putoff. And Hal Putoff was behind the company that Joe was working with 10 years ago, the guy I'm working with. So there's that connection between people that seem to be overlapping all these companies. And I'm right in the middle of this whole thing, and we're going to expose a lot of the truth of what's going on with the open disclosure. That's it. In a nutshell.
Best case scenario, what do you hope we'll learn ultimately from this court case?
Well, one thing would be nice to get paid the money my family needs. We worked for over a year for free, basically. We were more or less used and abused by the power structures of our government and other things that seem to want to take advantage of people like me. So, and even if they're operating in a rogue way, they're operating in many ways with that kind of, aggressiveness. So regardless, I'm trying to get paid. Number two, I'm trying to bring truth to this whole field, because it's been a long time coming that you put people under oath. And you say, what can you say about this, that, and the other thing? And if they invoke national security, they're going to have a reason for that. You can't just say national security. I can't answer that. No, you're going to have to say what is the reason and explain that and put kind of court documents together to show why that is. So my lawyer and I are very, very eager to bring all these people into court and ask them to explain their behavior, which is one of, I think, recklessness at the very least, and maybe some level of malfeasance at the very worst. So,
Would Tom DeLonge be asked to testify?
Yeah, I think you'd want to bring a Tom DeLonge into the courtroom to ask him to explain what his company is about, how it came into being, how a guy named Hal Putoff happens to fall into his world, and also what's directly involved with the company I'm working with. In fact, the testimonial video that you see for the anti-gravity device that Jay Furbish put together, backed by Ron Putoff and the CIA, appears to be what seems to be the same device that was made back in 2009, 2010 with Hal Putoff and the former head of the CIA division that... See, Ron works for a place called the Weird Desk at the CIA. And the former director of the Weird Desk was a guy named Kit Green. So Kit Green and Hal Putoff, the former present scientist working with Tom DeLonge, those two guys, Kit Green and Hal Putoff, were backing the device that Joe has now developed 10 years later. So we have this complete nexus of people that have connected. And we want to figure out how they connected. What's it all about?
Is it possible, Robert, it's just too big, the story, that it goes too high up the ladder? They won't stand for this kind of information to be revealed in a trial?
At some level, if they were to settle the case with my lawyer and I think that would show they don't want this to go into any more of a court setting. On the other hand, if they let this go into more of a court setting, I think you're going to see the evolution of this case get into many other areas besides whether or not I was paid by salary or not. I think we're getting into issues of black budget programs. We're getting into the issues about things that they could represent, how money gets doled out for certain research. And isn't it interesting that the money that goes to ATIP eventually falls down to Hal Putoff's research papers? Interesting.
Indeed. All right, we'll take one final time out, come back and finish up with Robert Kvyat right here on The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett. Thanks for hanging out.
Big Brother is listening, and so are you, to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio. To speak with Richard, call 416-360-0740. Or toll free 1-866-740-4740.
Robert Kvyat stays with us just a while longer. And again, he will be speaking at UFO MegaCon. And that conference is running March 24th to the 30th in Laughlin, Nevada. And an incredible roster of speakers. And that is at the Aquarius Hotel in Laughlin. And again, UFO MegaCon. .com, UFOMegacon.com. Robert, does anyone at the DOD or the DIA or the CIA, does anyone possess Do you suspect the ultimate truth about UFOs or ETs, or are they all just as sort of perplexed? They're all just kind of scrabbling around in the dirt like the rest of us in the dark.
I think the best way to put it is I've noticed a admission more or less from NASA that there may well be evidence of artifacts on either Mars or the Moon that I've covered for TV and print television and journalism. Print and TV. And I think I've discovered from talking to scientists over the years that we found evidence of intelligent constructions. Not to say that the ancient aliens people, I don't want to disparage anyone who loves that show. I want to take that back a little bit. I mean, if you love the show, great. The idea that we've left, or other beings have left evidence of their existence on either the Moon or Mars or even here on the Earth is a fascinating thing. So I think we have that evidence. And secondly, I think we have evidence of contact in space and contact possibly even here on the Earth with either crash or retrievals of some kind that we are aware we are being, we're not alone, and we've had evidence of that. The question of that, whether or not the government will ever admit that, I think is really a good one. I don't think it's likely that in our lifetime we're going to see some kind of admission. Hey, they're here. And so we're left with what we see now, which is a complete 2019 version of a limited hangout playing out for a year or two now. And it started the New York Times article a lot. And we've had three or four times in our history that we've had this before. We've had a UFO documentary in 1974, hosted by Rod Serling, that really sort of started this whole thing about the government working with producers and, Tom DeLonge, if you will, to bring the word out. And then back in 1988, they had another show called UFOs Cover Up Live, where the government claimed that they were going to tell, secrets of some kind. We never quite got those secrets, and it was a mess in terms of what, came out, a combination of half-truths and whatnot. And then we have more or less what we have now, and it's a mess. And so we've been good luck to try to figure out where the truth is. Like I said, if Leo Elizondo actually had access to these videos, he would be releasing all the information in news conference. And so here's what we know. So instead, we're going to go do now a year or two of a reality show where Leo's going to run around in the car, and we're going to get to the bottom of it all. Well, it's all great entertainment, but where is the truth? And that's what we're left with right now. We're left with a lot of wasted time, and unfortunately, we could do a lot better, is my bottom line. We could do a lot better.
It's almost like we have to go back to square one in some respects, because, as you say, it's become so. That's pretty daunting, really, when you think how much time has been wasted. We've been left chasing our tails for all this time, for decades.
It's painfully, and I must say, if anybody does feel for me a little bit and wants to donate a little to my legal defense or legal offense fund, it's to be able to recoup and be able to move on from a group of people that are trying to stonewall us, trying to obfuscate what's true by mixing together a lot of tantalizing possibilities and then kind of kibosh us. So if you care about getting to the truth, help me out. But understand, I hate to say it, I've always felt a little bit like a martyr for this, but you have to be a little bit of a martyr because no one seems to care enough than you do. So hopefully, people out there do care too. So understand, if you read the story and then we get to the bottom, I have a YouTube video which, if you go through my contacts, I can send you. And you'll hear, I explain the case a little more in more detail so you understand it. But thanks for helping, which I appreciate a lot tonight. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure. But we just have a few minutes here. I just wanted to ask you, when you were recruited originally in 2018, and before you realized, I'm being played here, I mean, were you filled with optimism as if, wow, we're really going to get to the bottom of something?
Absolutely. I actually, it's a great question. I don't mind saying this for my entire story to be true and real. My girlfriend, Chantel, she noticed that there was some talk on the internet about seeing, you know, Joe Thurman's not paying people or something, and we had seen that. But the truth is that I had faith in Joe. I had people that were around him that he, you know, it seemed like they were the right kind of people. So even though he had a history of a little bit of, like Donald Trump a little bit, you know, he's had businesses go out of business, you know, bankruptcy, falls out of leave, something like that, and he's still president of the United States. I was believing Joe had just been a, you know, hard luck kind of inventor and had made a lot of money in Silicon Valley, so he clearly had a lot of success before. But the fact that he did not have the money to cover my salary and all that was a surprise and all that. But I must say that I had my suspicions, but I was guardedly optimistic. And unfortunately, it turned out to be, like you say, a fly trap, which is where the CIA operatives for the group, then the intelligence community, creates the illusion with other people that there's something solid here, or maybe there wasn't. So we'll get into that for sure in the court case.
One of the other featured speakers at UF Omega Con is John Barber, who, of course, one could argue is, you know, one of the pioneers of reality TV, certainly one of the pioneers of reality TV, and a noted JFK assassination researcher. And it's kind of an interesting choice to be speaking at a UFO conference. I'm wondering if you see any sort of parallels to what's happening to the UFO disclosure movement with this manipulation, and what has happened also in JFK assassination research? A lot of dead ends, a lot of disinformation. Do you see a parallel?
Well, yeah, that's something that has emerged out of this entire year and a half of what's called conspiracy, you know, subject matter, if you will. And one of those things appears to be something called Q. And Q is apparently this operative that my friend Bob Davis, actually from New York, and he's had a very interesting career path with me. He's been a great leader in research of the unknown mysteries, if you will. And he is a medical massage guy right now, a really interesting guy. And he's been getting me aware of this Q phenomenon. What appears to be Q is apparently either a secret military operative group, whatever, that are painting a picture that, you know, we're going to see some kind of a revelation about UFOs and the government at a scale that we never would have imagined, a level of conspiracy that seems to boggle the mind, but even proposing the idea that John Kennedy Jr. Did not die in that plane crash years ago, tragically, in the late 90s, and survived, and is going to lead us to some kind of level of disclosure, way beyond anything we've ever seen. So people that are interested in conspiracy mysteries, if you will be very benefiting by looking to Q. And that's really where the JFK assassination, believe it or not, which we've done on the show, seems to conflate with UFOs and all. And there are people that believe that Q is connected to the JFK family, or JFK Kennedy, if you will. And the Kennedys believed, going into John Jr.'s death, that John was killed partially by the president due to the fact that we knew about what's true about UFOs and the truth about what we discovered and a few other things. And that came out in the early postings by this Q. So it's curious who this Q is and why there'd be a mixture of conflating UFOs and John F. Kennedy's assassination and whether John Jr. really died or not.
Indeed. Robert, it is, there's a lot of conflating going around for sure. Thank you so much for this, Robert Kvyat, and good luck with that trial and the GoFundMe campaign. Thank you so much. All right, my thanks to Owen and Faz, Ryan and Albert. Back next week, Bob Conley, Tesla Medicine, right here on The Conspiracy Show. So long for now.
Untold Canada, The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio, AM 740.
And welcome to the Audio Imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler, hang your cloak on a peg. Grab a stool and come gather around the fire. There are stories to be told and you are among friends. Once again, I'm coming to you from my little studio beneath the stairs in Old Thornhill, just north of Toronto. A veteran Fox Network UFO investigative television producer, Robert C. Kiviat, is here for the full 2 hours to discuss disinfo agents within the UFO disclosure movement. Last week, we welcomed our new technical producer, Faz. And this week we're saying so long to Faz. Geez, was it something I said? Actually, he's just being moved upstairs to another position at Zoomer Radio. But I tell you, I go through technical producers like, I don't know, Mickey Rooney went through wives. But Faz is leaving us, and our new technical producer who joins us tonight, my seventh in nearly 10 years here on Zoomer Radio by my count, our new technical producer is Owen Wolf. So let's see how long he lasts before I scare him off. Welcome aboard, Owen. Incidentally, if the men in black show up at the studio door, just tell them I'm not there and they'll go away. Believe me, don't be frightened. Next week on the program, Bob Connolly will be here. He'll be making an appearance at the Total Health Show, but he'll be here to discuss Tesla medicine. That's right, Nikola Tesla, Tesla medicine. And before I get started, I want to say thank you to Brad Robinson, Denny Bladell, and Kirk Schamel, or Kirk Schamel. They are Star Chamber supporters on Patreon.com, and we truly appreciate their incredible support and loyalty every month, part of our Star Chamber group, again, on Patreon.com. And in the next hour, I will be announcing the winner of this month's Strange Planet merchandise. And if you want to be eligible for the monthly draw, or if you want to be eligible to participate in the monthly exclusive online live chats or online hangouts on air with me, just go to patreon.com/strangeplanet, patreon.com/strangeplanet, and consider becoming an official supporter. patreon.com/strangeplanet. Robert C. Kiviat is here to discuss his harrowing 18-month odyssey filled with intrigue, deceit, obfuscation, and incredibly, the eventual realization that rival factions within the U.S. Defense Department and U.S. intelligence agencies are battling each other for dominance in explaining to the public what UFOs represent. Are they harbingers of doom, the apocalypse, or heaven on earth, or perhaps something in between? Well, let's find out. Robert Kiviat is best known for helping the Fox Network establish its alternative TV department with highly rated primetime documentary specials such as Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction, UFOs, The Best Evidence Ever Caught on Tape, number one and number two, Miracles and Visions, Fact or Fiction, Prophecies of the Millennium, World's Greatest Hoaxes, Secrets Finally Revealed, and Ghosts Caught on Tape, Fact or Fiction. Media outlets have called his production company the Fox Network's Real X-Files documentary unit, leading NBC Universal Sci-Fi to ask him to develop a series which delved into similar fact-based X-File-type stories, teaming with him from 2010 through 2012 to produce the weekly show Fact or Faked, Paranormal Files. Robert's passionate work investigating the most baffling, unexplained mysteries began years earlier as a top producer at NBC's Unsolved Mysteries. His Canadian UFO story about a hovering disc-shaped craft videotaped by a mysterious source known only as Guardian gave that NBC hit series some of its highest ratings, as did Robert's a segment on the Miracle at Fatima, which inspired millions to contemplate why the Vatican deems this wondrous event a true case of divine intervention. In 2014, NBC Universal Sci-Fi aired Robert's two-hour event documentary special, Aliens on the Moon, The Truth Exposed, which revealed, which revealed never-before-seen NASA photos taken by the Apollo astronauts that appear to show gigantic lunar constructions of unknown origin, timed to coincide with the 45th anniversary of the historic first moon landing. The show's premiere was covered extensively by TV news outlets across the U.S. and major newspapers like the New York Daily News. Highly successful digital platform runs on Netflix and Amazon Prime followed, as did subsequent airings on Discovery networks and international TV channels worldwide. Currently, Robert is developing an unprecedented TV docuseries that expands on a December 17, 2017 New York Times front page investigation, which ushered in a new UFO era by reporting that the Pentagon firmly believes UFOs recently filmed by military cameras might be alien spacecraft posing a real and present global danger. Wow, quite a resume. Robert Kiviat, welcome to The Conspiracy Show. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. For sure, yeah, I mean, the bottom line is I'm seeing a world filled with accolades, Richard, you know, and the bottom line really is getting to the truth of all this. And I do appreciate everything you said, and thank you for the introduction. And it's getting to the point now where I think we're going to find out in the next several months who really wants to get to the bottom of this thing and who really wants to just try to play the paranormal mystery game. And I think it's great to be on the show. Appreciate it.
And we should also mention you will be appearing at UFO MegaCon, which is happening later this month, and that's out in that's Laughlin, Nevada. And we'll get you some more details, but people can register at UFOMegacon.com. It's March 24th to the 30th. March 24th to the 30th. And again, that is in Laughlin, Nevada. You can go to UFOMegacon.com for a full list, a full list of the impressive lineup of speakers, and you can register there. And so forth. And Robert, you will be one of the featured speakers. Take us back to what is being hailed as this new era in UFO disclosure in December of 2017, New York Times front page story with Robert Blumenthal and Leslie Keene and Helene Cooper. What were your thoughts when that story broke?
Sure. We had done a show, my company had done one, for NBC Universal and Sci-Fi Channel called Aliens on the Moon, The Truth Exposed, where we showed what could be really well photographs showing structures in the moon that Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong shot on the way down to Apollo 11. And we were trying to get to some really interesting archival footage and video from the moon landings at that time in 14, 15, and 16. And we had heard about this Tom DeLonge guy from Blink 182, trying to kind of like ask military people if he could share whatever they might know about UFOs, which was kind of naive in a way, because it's not to put Tom down anyway, but the government has always liked when celebrities or people of that nature have an interest in anything mysterious. So that really wasn't that big a deal. I mean, what we were curious when the WikiLeaks release of John Podesta's emails were released. There were really some interesting little tidbits there that appeared to show that DeLonge was getting, in many ways, shined on by military people. That they were saying, hey, if you're interested in UFOs, hey, come over here. We'll show you some stuff. And it looked like the typical limited hangout that's happened, well, probably over the last 40 years. There were, you know, two or three very serious periods where the government had mixed true releases of information disclosure with things that were not really true releases. They were kind of like mixed with not true disinformation and whatnot, things that you could not really say were anything true. So basically, we watched this materialize, and all of a sudden, back in, I would say, fall of 2017, excuse me, we saw that, and I saw that DeLonge was making, basically predictions that he was going to come out with footage. And we said, okay, great. And then just about that time when that had happened, I had heard about Joe Firmage. And Joe Furmish is an interesting guy. The CIA and the government have been interested in him for many years. And he's been basically coming out with his own version of an academy for about 10 years. And Hal Puthoff also was somebody that was very involved with Joe Furmish. So just about this time, I kind of put all the pieces together and I realized there was something going on here. There are people involved with the government and have been involved in these kind of, you know, releases before that were now getting involved big time. So we had Hal Puthoff getting involved with Tom DeLonge, and also Hal Puthoff been involved with Joe Furmish years ago. And Joe Furmish had developed an anti-gravity device of some kind that was very, very interesting to certain people. So I knew that this was becoming quite a fascinating milieu, if you know what I mean. So we can get into a lot more tonight, but the bottom line is these issues have all come together to look like the DIA and some aspects of the CIA are kind of fighting for giving us information about these videos, what happened during the Nimitz event that the New York Times covered, and we'll get into that tonight. But that seems to be what's happening. Some kind of a game is going on between elements of DIA, elements of CIA, and they want us to kind of be confused by what's going on, but kind of get the point that maybe there's something to UFOs, but not very clearly, if you know what I mean.
So if well. Let me just see if I'm understanding and following along. So somebody is targeting celebrities to do some kind of a controlled release, a controlled disclosure, or a manipulated, altered disclosure, if you will, in much the same way, for example, that some people accused Bob Lazar that he was being used regarding Area 51. He was being used and abused. He thought he was telling the truth, but he was being fed misinformation or disinformation. Is that the same thing that's going on perhaps with people like Tom DeLonge and Hal Puthoff?
I would say to you it's probably not too far a stretch of an analogy, but I think we're looking at something a little bit more to the semblance of a disinformation campaign where the people involved are seemingly very, very honest, trying to tell the truth of what they think is the truth. And the government, we'll call it intelligence operatives, if you will get involved and will kind of mix it up just enough so everybody's off their game. Everybody doesn't quite succeed. People kind of get caught up in a maelstrom of kind of like confusion. And before you know it, people are wasting their time. Careers are affected. People's livelihoods are hurt. And that's sort of what I'm going to talk to you tonight about. It's not just messing around with people in the UFO research community. It's actually hurting people. It's actually creating some sort of disinformation kind of campaign that you have to almost fight back and actually kind of counter to be able to make any semblance of truth. And I think what we're seeing is, in this particular case, because I got involved with a company that was backed essentially by one of the top CIA scientists for the last 40 years, they might have just kind of erred just a little bit in their, in their exuberance to pull off these kind of, fly traps. I mean, you talk about that tonight, what a fly trap
right.
might be. And the fly trap here appears to be, they caught a guy who was actually hired in an employment contract, me, to use all my journalistic and production kind of skills to document what's going on. And the next thing you know, they kind of get me into a slather. So it's kind of a little bit, very, very not well thought out, really, because now that's all going to be revealed in a court filing, which has happened already. So we'll talk about that tonight. But
That they thought they could trade on your credibility and your expertise in the field of television production to get their version of the facts out or their version of what UFO disclosure should look like. So you were caught up in this fly trap, except you caught on to what they were doing.
Exactly. I'm so happy you said it just like that, but it's exactly what happened. They said, here's a guy with a Hollywood background. He's made many television shows like Tom DeLonge and company would like to create. In fact, A&E and History Channel is, as I see it, from the promotion I've seen already, the new Elizondo, they're pandering to this DIA kind of version of things, which is that, oh, watch out, you know, we might have some kind of dangerous crap out there, and, we better, you know, build up our military. But in reality, the story is much more complicated, but you're right. They wanted to use my background in television to kind of counter what People's Stars Academy was doing. So one group was already off and running with their own investments, and then you came along, or should I say I came along, and they said, hey, here's a guy that you got to latch on to, grab his credibility, grab his background, and you know what? Who cares if we ever pay him? And that's the way the CIA and some, you know, in terms of operatives have kind of operated over the years. Not clear.
I want to circle back to that and how you were approached and got caught up in this fly trap, as you call it, in little later. But right now, I want to go back to that New York Times article, and the word that there was $22 million out of the Defense Department, $600 billion seems like a pittance, really, but $22 million spent on this Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, ATIP. And that the person who sort of blew the lid off of this was this military intelligence official, Luis Elizondo. When that story broke, and you read it in the New York Times, you broke up there. I couldn't hear you. Go start again, please.
No, I'm sorry. If you're asking me, I didn't get to jump in. If you're asking me what I thought, by the way, when I saw that, it was pretty clear to me, and I think it's panned out that way, that the Elizondo was leaving the military division that was associated with the ATIP program, as you articulated, and he was leaving. He was leaving to become a member of an entertainment company. From the moment that he showed up on the stage, he played the part, you could see, of that military guy of shucks, he's leaving the military. And, amazingly, he's leaving with three outtakes of videos, which might be considered to be among the most amazing ever shot by Navy military pilots. Wow, how'd that happen? Doesn't look right. Did never look right from the beginning. Then he goes off to sell the shows to A&E History Channel. Well, ironically, because I was already out there looking at the New York Times article for my own reasons, and also now working with this company which we went into called InterNASA, and backed by a top CIA scientist, I figured I'd be in a great position to figure out what's going on. So what appears to be the fact is Luis Elizondo brought these outtakes. I just interviewed for the upcoming event you mentioned, UFO MegaCon at Lofty, Nevada, March 27th, I believe. But it's a whole week, March 24th to 30th in Lofty. And basically, I interviewed a guy named Jason Turner. This guy watched a 10-minute video, basically, of the famous Nimitz video. And Elizondo was leaked out about 30 seconds. Why does he have 30 seconds if Jason Turner saw 10 minutes? If he's the guy who was involved in the program, why is he leaving with 30 seconds of footage? Makes no sense. So this thing is panning out to be quite a debacle, I think, in terms of UFO information, because if we ever do see these longer videos, I mean, we'll probably have something really to talk about, but the fact of coming out so stilted and not clear is very, very concerning, I mean, for everybody.
Ah, it's fascinating. So this was being heralded as truly, you know, the new era in UFO disclosure. And you're saying, hey, let's just back off. Let's put on the brakes here. First of all, Luis Elizondo is only presenting a very small portion of these videos. I'm sorry, did you say you saw the entire 10 minutes of the video?
No, we're going to bring on at the conference at U.S. MegaCon, at the Military Whistleblower Panel that I'm going to be moderating. We're going to bring on a guy named Jason Turner, who was on the Princeton, which was a major support trip for the Nimitz event in 2004.
Right.
And basically, he's going to come out and say that he is going to a room and showing about 7 to 10 minutes of footage, which apparently in this event that now I've been watching for like about 30 seconds worth, So why are we seeing only 30 seconds, which he's calling the very, very end of a long sequence, where, you know, basically you saw that, saw, you know, much vivid, you know, image of the imagery, much better quality video. So why? Why are we seeing it this way of Lou Elizondo with the guy in charge of the Inca program in many ways? Why? Strange.
Well, a lot of people may be disappointed if all this turns out, all of this hubbub and hoopla or this New York Times front page story ends up being a great deception. Another in a long line of disinformation pieces. We'll come back and continue to delve into this fascinating story. This is The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serra. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Conspiracy Show with Richard Serrett from Zoomer Radio.
Welcome back. Robert Kiviat is with us, best known for helping the Fox network establish its alternative TV department with highly rated primetime documentary specials such as Alien Autopsy, Fact or Fiction. And we are talking about how he was recruited in 2018 by a company backed by a top CIA scientist to create entertainment products aimed at extolling the virtues of anti-gravity development and UFO research. And he explains how he was soon manipulated to refocus his efforts on competing with To the Stars Academy. Of course, that is Tom DeLonge, former musician with Blink 182. That's sort of his baby. They were competing with them for Hollywood projects with the goal of making people believe UFOs, or UAPs if you'd rather, are related to interdimensional portals and human consciousness rather than beings coming from distant planets. All right, so take me back, Robert, to 2018. How were you recruited? How did this happen?
Well, I was looking for a company that could possibly take us to the next level of gravity or anti-gravity propulsion. I had interviewed the former head of the National Security Agency, Admiral Barbara Inman, or should I say my company did, one of our interviews, and it had clear indications that he was interested in anti-gravity propulsion. We found that out afterwards. So we really, I stayed focused on this issue. So about 2017, midway through, I found a company that was interested in doing this type of research. And then a second company got to my attention, one by this Joe Firmage. So Joe Firmage was backed by one of the top CIA scientists. It became very clear through all the research we were doing. And so, you know, this gentleman at the CIA backing Joe, we felt that, and I thought my company could actually get behind and help promote this if it was true. If it was true that somebody had found the signature scientific, I guess, formula for how you could affect gravity and be able to control it somehow. So I was hired to basically be the main TV, film, news, media, you name it, communications guy for the company. And Joe offered me a very nice contract. My contract was vetted by my top W's attorney. And before you knew it, I was working for him by the beginning of the gravity kingdom. And it was told to me very early on with Joe Firmage that I was working both for him and a guy named Ron Pandolfi at the CIA. Ron was acting as the science advisor to the company in every way. And if we were able to get investors to believe that, of course, Ron Pandolfi, the CIA, was interested in the device that Joe was making with his technical group, that we would have a great company to bring the world. And I was going to help bring the, you know, the story out, you know, news media coverage, a six-month media rollout plan culminating with a, you know, live event where this device, you know, is levitating, if you can imagine, you know, live on television and the world sees gravity has been averted. And I mean averted by not known methods of propulsion, using devices that are not driven by any kind of, you know, fossil fuel or anything like that. I wouldn't say zero-point energy, but I would say something that is not a known level of physics that we presently have. And so it appears this would be a real thing. But then the problem was the money in the company was being sort of held up There's a guy named Dan Marriott. He's a former congressman for Utah. And Dan Marriott was doing all kinds of maneuvers to control the company, but not put any money in unless they had to. And unfortunately, you can't keep people working for many, many hours without, you know, paying them when they have bona fide contracts. So I think that Dan Marriott got involved in sort of like a little over his head, if I may say so, and didn't realize that the flytrap being put together appears to now be that Ron Gandolfi was maneuvering people to sort of work together, and nobody is really paying anybody properly. But, oh, that could be a problem, but no one really worried about that. And unfortunately, Joe Firmus himself was affected by all of this, but I have had to issue a lawsuit now to get paid after a year of work. But I must say that the problem seems to be that you get people to give their company abilities, individual abilities, and then contacts in the TV and entertainment industry, and you take advantage of people. Eventually, the buck stops. You know, you can't keep doing that. That's what I found out when the CIA appears to be kind of known for doing these things, which are called these fly traps, where they kind of bring people together and kind of waste their time, don't get anywhere. But I must say that I think in Joe's case, there's probably a real device. There's no doubt that we've seen what looks like to be a real device. And, you know, when you start looking at the people that have been through this for the last 10 years or so, you find out the present new owner of Skinwalker Ranch, the person that bought Skinwalker Ranch, or Bob Bigelow, is one of Joe Firmus' former partners in developing the early round of the anti-gravity device. So it's quite an interesting story. So we have now issued a lawsuit, and in court, we'll be bringing all the people that are associated with this together. I'm sure how it put off to the Stove Academy, people involved in the whole operation. We'll be looked into as possibly, you know, being blamed through this trial. And I think we have to look at why would it be $22 million went to Bob Bigelow and then basically brought all kinds of people together to look at these kind of issues. But there's really a lot of answers. There's answers that need to be, you know, found. And so I think in a courtroom, we'll get to a lot of these issues.
So I'm following here, because this is it's an involved story. And there's a lot of things at play. So this anti-gravity device that you think there may be something to it, but is the contention that it was, what, back-engineered from reverse-engineered from a piece of alien craft that crash-landed somewhere? Where did it come from?
It's a very good question. Apparently, at some point, that was sort of the implication. Maybe something the CIA had told Joe would be something he could utilize in this development. And the fact seems to be that Joe came up with an idea of having a certain level of techniques used in physics to kind of offset certain things or create certain things to occur. But none of those things necessarily were from, you know, finding a piece of hardware from a Roswell crash or something like that. But that was the early suspicion that maybe there might be something there. And now it appears that something much more different. It appears that journalists, if you follow what Ron Gandolfi at the CIA is saying, from even like living room YouTube meetings that the family seems to have, Ron and his wife, from the CIA, they seem to be having these YouTube events where they do live kind of events. And they'll kind of talk about this device Joe's creating in a way that maybe it's opening up portals, but somehow it's opening up some level of interdimensional physics. And that's just, like, mind-boggling. But, of course, as the communications guy and the TV and news guy, I'm wondering, what the hell is going on with that? So it's very strange. And in fact, not clear at all whether or not Joe may have stumbled upon some kind of physics phenomena that is bigger than even, but beyond his level of what he thinks he created. It's possible. But we'll get that in court case.
So let's find out, I mean, who are the players here in terms of and what their agenda is. So on the one hand, we have the intelligence agencies like the CIA, and you were working for a company that was backed by the CIA. And then on the other hand, we have this, you know, this ATIP, Advanced Aerial Threat a program going on inside the Pentagon. So we have the Defense Department on that side. Are they working at cross purposes? What are their agendas? Yeah. Why, you know, what are they trying to do here?
I'll answer, which is understand, because I worked for close to a year for a company and took it away, took time away from my family, taking care of my loved ones, not paid the majority of my fees. I've sued companies that tied to the CIA that looks like we'll be able to get to a lot of UFO secrets through this process of getting remunerated property for my time and all that. But back to the question you're asking, there appears to be two separate camps. There appears to be this DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency Group, that is associated with the ATIP program, simply put, by being defense intelligence agents that would go to the Bob Bigelow property in Skinwalker Ranch over the last, 15, 20 years. They would spend time there, but this is money spent throughout the period that the government was probably giving some level of money to Bigelow. Then, of course, increased by the 2007 infusion of $22 million, which we'll get into. But bottom line, Bob Bigelow seems to have been involved in seven realities from times before that. And so what I'm saying to you is that it appears $22 million was spent essentially studying some of the follow-on research done at Skinwalker Ranch for the last 20 years. And these DIA, Defense Intelligence Agent-type people, have been trying to conflate UFO sightings with ghosts, poltergeists, Bigfoot, every paranormal thing you can imagine, allegedly all happening like at a paranormal supermarket called Skinwalker Ranch. It's ridiculous. It boggles the mind how anybody would believe that. But we have guys, and I think George is a very nice guy, George Knapp. I've had him in my own shows. You can see him on Netflix tonight on one of my shows called UFO, the best evidence you've ever caught on tape. We have George Knapp actually helping to fuel that story, that there's, some kind of connection between ghosts, UFOs, every paranormal aspect you can imagine. And somehow that makes us clearer that these UFOs are something other than beings coming from another planet to check us out for maybe nuclear prowess or maybe they can do nuclear weapons, which seems to be more than most people think. So when it comes right down to it, I don't understand, and I wish I could explain to me, why anybody would conflate all these things under the Skinwalker Ranch label, which is what the DIA is trying to do through Tom DeLong's operation. If you really look into it.
Robert, I got to forgive the interruption. Yeah. I got to jump in here. We've got to rush off to a break. We'll be right back, and we'll pick this up on the other side. Robert Kvyat here on The Conspiracy Show.
The truth is not out there. It's right here. The Conspiracy Show with Richard Sarrett from Zoomer Radio.
Robert Kvyat is with us, and he will be one of the featured speakers at UFO MegaCon March 24th to the 30th at the Aquarius Hotel in Laughlin, Nevada. And for more information and to register, you can go to UFOMegacon.com, UFOMegacon.com. Now, Robert, you're going to be walking into this conference. A lot of people may not be receptive to what you're saying. Do you know what I mean? You're going to be really stirring the pot.
Yeah. There's no doubt. I think we're at the point now where I've become a bit of a contrarian. I did a show a while back for Fox called World's Greatest Hoaxes, Secrets Finally Revealed, where many people felt they had become a debunker after doing a lot of shows that seemingly promoted UFOs and other unexplained phenomena, kind of mysteries. But it never was any of that. It was always getting to the bottom of what's true and what's not true as a journalist. And so I've always adopted a journalistic kind of view of what I'm doing. And even if I don't make as many shows as I would like for both financial and other reasons, I know I'm on the track of truth. That's my goal. And when the UFO community seemed to basically miss the ball here, that they're being manipulated by very savvy long-running group of intelligence operatives who basically are almost the same people. I mean, they almost have never left. It's almost ridiculous that people don't stand up and say, hey, wait a second, can't you see how obvious this is and just step up and do what's right? So I'm doing, I think what any self-respecting journalist would do on the beat called UFO, they would say, would call foul when he sees foul. And right now we're dealing with a younger group of people, maybe in the UFO interested community, would see Tom DeLonge and say, oh, look at this rocker who's interested in UFOs. You know, one of the earliest rockers interested in UFOs is John Lennon. And
yes.
Years ago, I did a story about John Lennon seeing a UFO in New York. And just because of that does not mean you believe everything that goes along with that. And if we see what's going on with his Star Academy, Richard, I think we're finding a lot of not very clear things. And we have to be very, very alert, I think, as consumers right now.
Again, to be clear, and I think it's important to be crystal clear, you're not suggesting that Tom DeLonge is being disingenuous or that he's trying to, that he's responsible for the manipulation. If I'm understanding you, you're saying that he got caught up in this fly trap. He doesn't realize to the extent that he's being manipulated and used. Is that right?
I think he might very well realize it. I don't know. He just sent me an interesting message a few months ago. I think he was looking for a media opportunity. Everything seemed to be about getting a media opportunity for himself. I think he would have to admit that his communication to me already seemed to be media-driven. It was not about getting the truth out about UFOs and what we may know about our place in the universe. It had very little to do with that. It had to do with getting the Hollywood rights deals, if you know what I mean, which brought me to death. I never quite understood why anything would ever come out truthfully if we were looking at rights deals and financial aspects. I mean, if that's how our journalism and our truth comes out, we're screwed. We know that big business controls a lot of what we think. So it's silly to think that that would be a very, you know, good way for truth to come out. There are so many aspects of the Star Academy that ring so hollow in terms of what they're trying to achieve. I mean, who comes out with an entertainment company first and foremost? I mean, at least Joe Firmage and Ron Gandolfi, as much as I'm suing them and need help in my lawsuit, which we'll talk about tonight, I mean, to get paid for the work I've done because they've done kind of a weird mismanagement of people, at least they were coming out with the right idea. You come out with a machine. You can create something. You say, okay, look what we're doing here. We're trying to make something. To the South Academy, things like they're going to make something. They're going to get, ooh, this guy used to be at Lockheed. He's going to somehow lead us to the Holy Land without we're going to make a machine. Stop it. You do it by business, research, organization. You do it by, you know, putting together a good team. And, you know, at least at the outset, it looked like that was happening to Joe Firmage. I don't know what Tim Stark Academy is really doing. And I think we'd have to look into it very, very importantly. And very seriously, by the way. I believe that.
I mean, I think many of us, or most of us maybe even, have a pretty good sense that, you know, we have been manipulated really from the get-go. Like, I look at Hollywood, and we have this steady stream of seemingly conflicting messages, sometimes by the same director. You'll have someone like Steven Spielberg, who comes out with E.T., and portraying, you know, extraterrestrials as these benevolent beings. And then Steven Spielberg comes out with War of the Worlds, where, as you say, it's the apocalypse. Maybe we can pick up on that point when we come back, and whether that's all part of this manipulation, and it's coming from Hollywood as well. We don't know what to think about ETs. Robert Kvyat, my guest. We'll pick this up on the other side. The Conspiracy Show. My name is Richard Serrett.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.